High-stakes tactics of electoral politics are colliding with the sacred rights of voters to get to the polls in the culmination of this rowdy, unprecedented 2016 presidential campaign. Listen to this.
You've got to go out and you've got to get your friends and you've got to get everybody you know. And you got to watch your polling booths, because I hear too many stories about Pennsylvania, certain areas. I hear too many bad stories, and we can't lose an election because of you know what I'm talking about.
So if you take that statement from Donald Trump speaking to supporters in Pennsylvania last month seriously, and he's been making that statement to supporters around the country, maybe you and some of your friends should get a group together and monitor your polling station to watch for bad stories. Huh? Bad idea. There are strict limits to amateur voter vigilance, and the penalties for overreaching into the realm of intimidation are severe. The Democratic and Republican parties have filed half a dozen complaints about poll monitoring. A group calling itself Stop the Steal, affiliated with Roger Stone, has already attracted attention. State Democratic parties in Arizona, Ohio, Nevada, and Pennsylvania are suing the Trump camp for what they describe as encouraging unlawful voter intimidation. In New Jersey, a federal judge has ordered the Republican National Committee to turn over all communications with the Trump campaign that might tie it to, quote, ballot security. Election officials in Ohio and Nevada have also reported instances of harassment of people voting early. In North Carolina, the NAACP filed a lawsuit that alleges the state is purging black voters from county rolls. And on Tuesday night, the Hopewell Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi, was vandalized and set on fire with the words "Vote Trump" spray-painted on an exterior wall. Authorities there are treating the act as one of voter intimidation that amounts to a hate crime. Leah Wright-Rigour is the author of The Loneliness of the Black Republican, Pragmatic Politics and the Pursuit of Power. She's also assistant professor of public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government.
We haven't seen this kind of this level, I think, of talk around, you know, keeping a careful eye on the polls and voter fraud in a very long time. Now, the interesting thing here is a lot of it is speculative. A lot of it is kind of neither here nor there. It's very vague. You know, we've seen Donald Trump and campaign surrogates talk about policing the polls, particularly in urban areas like Philadelphia, St. Louis, Chicago, and kind of, you know, suggest this idea that the Clinton camp is going to deploy people to steal this election. Now, what they've said in interactions, subsequent interactions, is that they're not encouraging people. They're not saying go out. But they actually are saying, telling their audience that they need to be very careful and watch. And this is being interpreted in a way that suggests that there are only certain kinds of people that are valid voters, and that anybody who falls outside of this, you know, a notion of a valid voter, in this case, a Trump supporter, is somebody that should be challenged, and that it's the right of everyday people to challenge them.
So this federal judge that has ordered the RNC to turn over all communications with the Trump campaign that might be related to something they call, quote, ballot security. What's that judge looking for? What kinds of statements that would be telltale statements on the issues that you're suggesting in that data?
So I think they're probably looking for kind of inflammatory statements, but they're looking for explicit statements that encourage voter intimidation and voter suppression. And so part of this stems from this decree from the 1980s that says that the Republican Party has to, you know, has to be very careful on this issue of poll watching and poll security, that they can't just go up and intimidate or accuse people, that they have to, any kind of election day activities or things related to the election actually have to be run through a judge. And it's set to expire in the next couple of years. What's interesting here, though, is that this is the first modern election where we haven't had the protections of the Voting Rights Act. So we've seen the increase in the number of state legislatures that are passing bills, that are passing acts explicitly designed to curb turnout from certain groups of people. In particular, we've seen the one in North Carolina that's undergoing some explosive investigations that explicitly targeted black voters with, I think the judge's language was, with surgical precision. So in some cases, you're looking for a smoking gun. And so I think a judge is going to be going through that and looking very carefully to ensure that actually what you're not doing is cultivating voter intimidation and voter suppression.
How does social media enable this intimidation tactic? In other words, send messages across state lines or across the country with pictures from places or sending an intimidating message that comes through the screen.
So social media is an interesting space because it's, on the one hand, it's a democratizing space, right? So everyone has a voice. Everyone has a platform. And there are really interesting ways in which we're starting to see people mobilize around issues like educational pushes on voter registration, know your rights. It's also been a space where, we've really seen, particularly in the last year, a cohesion around this kind of everyday citizen patrolling and everyday surveillance of people who are not the right kind of people voting, right? There's an image going around that is of a black woman with, in the back, it says African Americans for Hillary Clinton. And it says, hey, voters, you can text your vote through your phone, just text Hillary. That's not true, but that's also another form of intimidation and suppression. And in this particular case, it is explicitly geared at depressing the turnout of voters of color, particularly black voters. And so we are seeing these kinds of things spread around. They're shared thousands of times. And this is the kind of thing that I think makes it incredibly difficult to tease out what are your rights at the polls? What are the actual proper ways to vote? It's a pretty disturbing trend.
Leah Wright Regura is author of The Loneliness of the Black Republican, Pragmatic Politics on the Pursuit of Power, and assistant professor of public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Asked about these legal challenges, charges, and complaints, the Trump campaign gave us this statement. The complaints are long on rhetoric, short on substance, and are clearly designed to change the subject away from Hillary Clinton's mounting legal problems. Stop the Steal and Roger Stone are not affiliated with the campaign, and we have no idea what they are doing. The campaign is doing everything in accordance with applicable law. The suit does not challenge this and asks only that the law be followed, which the campaign is already doing. End quote.